We live in one of the, and probably the most connected periods in all of human history. Think about it. Let's play a game. This may show some of our ages. Some of us are too young to know this. But let's play a few games. How many of you, raise your hand if you can remember a time when the radio was your only means of getting connected to the world outside of your own community? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you remember the day when we watched a man walk on the moon for the first time? Okay. How many of you ever remember sending your first email? And some of you are still waiting for that. That's okay, it's going to get farther along. All right, how many of you, Facebook, okay? I know all of a sudden I've gotten beyond some of us. How many of you have a Facebook friend who lives in another country? Okay? How many of you have ever Skyped somebody? And you know what that word means? Twitter. How many of you have ever Twittered something? I don't like it either, but I've done it a couple times. How many of you have ever chatted online with someone? You know, I remember one day watching one of my daughters play a Connect Four game. Remember those little games you used to play? You put the four checkers in and try to get... And she was in one city, and her friend was in another, and they were playing it online. So let me ask you this. This may be just a couple of us, if any. How many of us have ever played a video game and wore a headset and played with someone around the world in another country? The youngest guys here. Did you know that? Did you know that your kids can sit in front of an Xbox 360 and play a game, and they are connected to other kids around the world in several other countries, and they are working as a team to accomplish a task on a video game? The world is connected. And in one of these most powerful parts of the world, though, in the time that we are most connected, that technology makes our global world so big, oftentimes, our prayers are so small. In a way that we are so connected, we know what's going on around the world. We can watch it on TV. We saw live down in Chile this week, 33 men come up that we thought were going to be dead. And we saw the world celebrate live on TV for 24 hours straight. But how often do our prayers ever make it outside of our own immediate family? It is into this too often self-centered existence of our own that Psalm 67 prods us onward to a world beyond our horizons, to a world where people do not know Jesus. Psalm 67 prods us into a world, to places that are torn by violence, into countries that are littered with corruption. You see, the psalmist tells us that out of the experiences of blessedness, he prays God's will for the rest of the world. This psalm represents what I'm calling global prayer. See, global prayer extends out of God's love for the entire world, remember John 3:16, to a point where we lift our prayers to make a difference in the world. That if God loves the world, we need to be praying for the world. You see, it is out of our experience of blessedness. And in world standards, we are very blessed. That out of our experience a blessedness. We are called by God to lift our eyes to the world so that we are able to pray for God's will of salvation, of justice, of peace, and to a world that doesn't know it. So I want us to look more closely at Psalm 67 and to begin to see how it shapes us to begin to pray for the world. I asked you to a few moments ago to find a Bible. There's one in the pews here, maybe one you brought with you. Turn to Psalm 67. And I want us to go verse by verse through this for a few moments as we begin to look at how God calls us to pray for the world. The first lesson is a lesson we learn in verses 1 and 2. And it is this: God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Listen to verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine on us so that your ways, God's ways, may be known on earth. Your salvation among the nations. You see, the psalmist understands this link between God's blessing and being a blessing in the world. Does that sound familiar to you? Can you think about another passage of Scripture that talks about being blessed and being a blessing? Let's just put it out there. Who can tell me what it is? All right, turn over Genesis chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Hold your finger on the other side. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is where Abraham hears a sense of calling from the Lord. And now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." Why? So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in all of you, and in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not just the families right around you, not just the families that you are connected to, but the families of the entire world will be blessed because I have chosen to bless you. This passage marks the beginning of where God begins this intervention into the world, of bringing the world back into oneness with himself, the way he originally created it. This passage sets the stage for who Jesus is and what role Jesus is to play in the role of all of human history. The mission of God, the Missio Dei, is to bless all the people of the world with God's true nature, with God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his most prized possession, his Son. So what role does prayer play in this ongoing story of God's redemption of the world? What role does prayer play in God's mission? Everything. Remember last week, prayer makes a difference. It is through prayer that we become partners with God in his transformation of the world. It is through prayer that we realize that it's not all about what God is doing, but God is who's doing it through us. We become partners in God's role and God's mission. Global prayer, praying for the world, begins with our blessing, our salvation through Jesus Christ. The psalmist reminds us, but before we can begin extending our prayers beyond ourselves, we have to begin to recognize and appreciate that God truly has blessed us. I've often quoted, and I'll probably continue to do so, because it's such a paradigm shift for our lives and for my life. Finley Edge, a Southern Baptist educator, who said this, that the gift of God's salvation and the call to mission in the world are one and the same. Being blessed leads us to be a blessing. And this includes our prayers. As we receive the gifts of God's blessings in our lives, we extend those blessings and we pray. Global prayer connects us to the world in the same way that our grandchildren and children are now talking through the Xbox 360 to people around the world. Prayer connects us to those people who are needing to hear the love of Jesus. Think for a few moments. Where has God blessed your life? How can your prayers, out of that blessedness, be a blessing to the world? Let's keep on going. Verse 3. In verse 3, we see the second lesson of global prayer, and that is that God's salvation is for the whole world. He says, "May the peoples praise you, God. May all of the peoples praise you." The psalmist recognizes that all of us, when we have experienced the love of Jesus and the love of God, are called to praise Him. It's not just for those in the affluent parts of America, or it's not just for those who have in this part of the world that we know, but it is for everyone, rich and poor, young and old. As I reflected on global prayer this week and began to think about what this requires of our lives, I realized how often in my life my prayers are just plain selfish. See, instead of partnering with God for the transformation of the world through my prayers, often my prayers fail to make it out of my own house. I'm praying for my family and for my girls. I'm praying for you all. And I'm praying for this church. And I failed to even remember our broader community or maybe even our nation, let alone other parts of the world. See, I become so fixated with my own problems that I lose sight of the ways that God has blessed me. And when I can't see my own blessings, I can't see the needs of others. If I can't see the needs of others, I fail to see the millions of people impacted by war and violence around the world. I fail to see the millions of children forced into slavery and prostitution around the world. I fail to see the spiritual darkness that extends over the face of the earth. I fail to see the injustices brought upon people by broken economic and governmental policies. The challenge of people having to live and survive on $1 a day. What about you? Are your prayers ever selfish like mine? New York Times columnist by the name of Nicholas Kristof tells the story about our natural tendency to fail to lift our eyes to the rest of the world. Kristof is a seasoned global reporter. You read his bio, he talks about all the countries and places that he's been around the world, and he's reported from hot spots filled with violence and war and savageness for years. Several years ago, he was on the front edge of the reporting of the things that were happening in Darfur, this part of the Sudan and other northern part of Africa that was being torn by warlords and by rebels, and there was a religious parts to it, and there were government parts to it, but people in villages were being killed and maimed, and people were being taken into slavery, and they were being raped and destroyed. And thousands of people were being left homeless. And Kristof was on the front line, and he kept sending report after report to the New York Times, trying to get the world to pay attention. And he tells the story now that at the same time in New York, there was this pair of red-tailed hawks that had built a nest on a condo right above Central Park. One of them, they had named the male the pale male, and all the stories were about pale male, and they were talking about how the owners of the condo were trying to take away the nest from these hawks. And Kristof talked about his great frustration about how this story of pale male kept making the front page of the New York Times week after week after week, and how the community was so uproar over what was happening to these two homeless hawks. And he was telling about the stories of millions of people who were being impacted by war, and no one would pay any attention. We fail to see the world because we only have a vision for what is right in front of us. So remember these words of the psalmist. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all of the people praise you. See, God loves those millions of people over there that we don't know their names of, that have just become a statistic to us. His heart beats for them, for the people who aren't on our radar screen. Yes, he wants to hear the people we talk about and we lift up in our prayer meetings. Yes, he wants to know what's going on in our lives. But he doesn't want us to stop there. Richard Foster calls intercessory prayer our way of loving others. If that's the case, global prayer is our way of loving a hurt world. And if we are called to be a blessing to the world, to love the others that God loves them, and our natural tendency is not to see them, how do we begin praying for the world? How do we get beyond our own tendency to not see what's happening? It begins with brokenness. It is not until we allow God to break our hearts for the hurt and the wounded and the lost of this world will we ever begin to pray for them. Global prayer begins with our blessedness, but it requires our brokenness. This week, a friend of mine here in our church was helping us plan for next week's service day. And he went over to look at one of the sites we were going to be working over at Circle of Hope to kind of get a visual of how to prepare for all of us who are going to show up next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, right? And he came back and we talked about it some. And he was amazed at the number of women in our area who are having to escape domestic violence. And their children, months old, some of them, who wouldn't know a father. He talked about how that experience changed him. He said, I had planned something else on that day, on our service day. I was just helping you get everything together. Something that meant a lot to me. But this changed me. His heart had been broken. And now it was open to begin to pray. Because he knew who to pray for. He had people in his mind to lift up. What steps can you take to move out of the narrow existence of your life and to begin to see the rest of the world, and to begin to have your heart broken for the people that God loves so much? Will you set aside some time next week and come and be a part of our community service day and come and see what God can do in your life, what part of your heart God can break in order for you to begin to be able to pray these kind of prayers? Would you consider joining the mission team that's going to Nicaragua next June and see how God breaks your heart for the lost and hurting in Central America? On your worship guide today, I've given you a place for you to write down one step, one thing that you can do to take a step into brokenness and into global prayer. Think about that today as we continue. If we move to the final four verses of chapter 67, they provide us our third lesson in global prayer, and that simply is this: pray for the world. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that the ends of the earth will fill him. Not only do we begin with our blessedness, not only do we begin to have to be broken, But it requires those things in order for us, we have to begin to pray. May all the nations be glad and sing for joy, the psalmist says. How do we begin to pray with a global focus? We first have to remember to pray in the first place. You know, one of the great Baptist traditions of our time that we've developed over the past 100 years and or 120-something years of our WMU and other kind of folks who have led us into prayer are things like our missionary prayer calendars. A place where you open something up and all of a sudden you read about missionaries around the world. You see their names and their birthdays. And you know that they represent someone who has followed the calling of God to serve in a place around the world. The list reminds us that there are people who risk their lives for the sake of the gospel and that we can't forget them. On the back side of over here by the offices, you'll find a little prayer guide put out by one of our mission agencies that gives you a way to pray every day and every week for those folks. So we find ways that we remember to pray. Second thing we do is we choose to invest ourselves and our prayers into one part of the world. See, the world's a big place. There are thousands of places, millions of needs, so we kind of get lost in all of the numbers. And if you want to begin to pray globally, begin to pray for one place, one ministry, one person. Choose a location or a missionary or a Baptist person that you know around the world and invest your energy and your prayers in that person. Maybe it's a missionary you've met at some point in your life. Maybe it's someone you went to school with who's serving somewhere else. Or it's a mission trip you've taken somewhere. Or maybe it's a place that God's laid on your heart, a place like Haiti or China. And after you decide on the place that you're going to partner with God in prayer, start learning as much as you can about them. Get some practice learning about their global challenges in that community. Do research on Google. Get on Google Earth and go and look at the place physically. What are some of the challenges that this place has to maintain in order their natural resources? And then make a connection with that location, with the missionary or a church leader, and build a relationship with them. Email them your desire to pray for them and ask them if there are some prayer requests that you can pray for them for. And then start to pray. And when you begin to see God moving and making a difference, celebrate those answers to prayers with the people all around you. Say, look, I've been praying for this place in Haiti, and this is what God has done. Several years ago, I met a friend of mine in one of my D-Men classes. And he and his wife run a ministry that started out as a way of helping take kids out of this, out of prostitution. And eventually God led them to the Sudan. And as they began to do ministry there, they began to realize that one of the greatest challenges in the Sudan wasn't just all of the warlords who kept going back and forth destroying these different villages, but it was children who lived out on the desert. And the thing that was killing them the most was wild dogs, because there was nothing to protect them. And so they began to invest all of their time and energy to lead as many people that they could to build an orphanage in the desert, to build a fence around them so that they could protect their children from the wild dogs. Every Wednesday, his wife Kimberly sends out an email. Every Wednesday, it reminds me that not just about the needs of our church or needs of my family, but that there are kids in this world who are in desperate need, and that there are adults who are doing their best to try to help them. And they're teaching them about Jesus in an environment that's desperate. And that there are people who give their lives for the sake of the gospel every day. And when I receive that email, it reminds me to pray for them. Richard Foster calls the word we're using global prayer. He calls it radical prayer because it is spiritual defiance in the way that the world is. See, when we become partners with God in the transformation of the world through prayer, we enter a spiritual underground resistance movement which seeks to undermine the status quo of the world. And soon these prayers grow from polite happy prayers for the missionaries around the world to what Walker Wink calls global prayer, where it becomes more like these prayers become impertinent, persistent, shameless, indecorous. Global prayer becomes more like haggling at an outdoor bazaar than the polite monologues of church. When we begin to take global prayer seriously, we begin to pray desperately for God to move in ways that we'll never understand. These are the weapons of our resistance. They make us appear to be completely irrelevant to the world that's based on power and efficiency and control. However, when we speak the truth, when we pray for our enemies, when we refuse to cooperate with injustice, global prayer becomes a powerful weapon in pulling down the strongholds and bringing to birth the righteous and peaceful kingdom of Jesus. See, it's out of the experience of blessing. The psalmist in Psalm 67 prays that God's will for the rest of the world to be done. And it is out of our experience, where we are, and out of our blessedness, where we are called by God to lift our eyes to the world and pray, to haggle for the salvation and justice for all. So let us lift our eyes to the world so that we can become participants in God's transformation of His people. What is your global prayer this morning? Maybe your prayer needs to be an awareness of your own blessing. See, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. But if we aren't aware of our blessings, we can never start praying for others. Maybe your prayer today needs to be, God, make me aware of what you have given me. Maybe your prayer needs to be for brokenness. Maybe you're aware of your blessedness, the blessings God's done, but you just do your own thing. God's salvation is for all of the world, but we can't ever begin to pray for it until God breaks us and we can see as He sees. But maybe it's your time to begin investing your prayers in one place in the world, for you to begin to haggle with God for the salvation and justice in the world. Let God lead you and start to pray. Will you pray with me? And now, O gracious God, may your graciousness to us bless us. And Lord, may your face shine upon us so that out of your blessedness, your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our song of dedication, our song of response. If you need to respond to God today in salvation for your own life, in response to what God's calling you to do, I'll be down front. I invite you to come out of your pews, down the aisles. Let's talk and pray and see what God has in store for all of us. Let's sing.